Well, good morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. Pastor Williamson is on a break, and he will not be joining us this morning, but I want to go to our special guest, who is not a stranger to us by any stretch of the imagination. Brother and Pastor Adrian Hendricks of Heritage Baptist Church in Bengaluru, India. Brother Adrian, want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Well, thank you for that warm welcome, and I do miss Pastor Williamson, but I want to thank you for anchoring this program, Wheat Among the Tares, and I want to thank you for thank the church and the pastor for having GGR broadcast all over the world. And you are the parent organization for Hymn Radio, which was started in 2019, and we are glad to follow through with that vision to reach India for Christ. It's an honor to be with you today.
Brother Hendricks, I'm telling you, it is a blessing to have you aboard, and I am so very thankful, and I'll just start the program by saying that in God's economy, if I could use that word, there are no accidents, and in his providential hand and how he crossed our paths a number of years ago, and what a blessing that has been through the years, and how intricately he designed his plan to cross your path with our path here at Gethsemane. And it has certainly been a very wonderful relationship that we have had with you, Sister Emma, and the folks there at Heritage Baptist Brothers. Really, really been a blessing. I want to start this morning, Pastor, with it's been a year and a half or so since we have talked to you, and a lot of things I know have occurred in India alone, and how the political landscape, if I could use that word, has changed. And Brother Adrian, if you would, just kind of describe to us over the last year and a half what you have seen as far as how things have stepped up, if you would, with regard to the increase in persecution from the Hindu country, Hindu, and I'll get it right in a minute, Hindu religion, and things that are going on with that. I know that the Lord has spared you folks a lot there, from what I understand, but other parts of the country are going through a lot. Tell us about what you know about that aspect of things.
I sure will, and thank you, sir. It's been a wonderful journey knowing you all, and thank you for partnering with us to get the gospel to the ends of the world. And as you rightly said, there are no accidents with God at work, but only divine appointments. And I'll never forget that day when I came into contact with you all, and what a blessing and encouragement you all have been to us.
Amen.
Yes, we are serving the Lord in the country of India, which has a population of 1.4 billion people. We have surpassed China in the month of May. And so we are the world's largest democracy. And that's a lot of people on a little land called India. And as you said, you know, we have had a wave of persecutions that has come by of recent. And again, many of that has been caused by just fanatics. And as you are aware, you know, every religion has those crazy people in it, and who take the law into their hands and who feel that they have to, you know, bring order, law and order. And that's been really something that many, many people, innocent lives have been lost, churches have been burned. And this is a reality that even the news channels don't cover. And then you have videos of these persecutions that are sent out on WhatsApp and Facebook just to create fear among people. But then, you know, rather than dwelling on that, I just want to realize and remind myself, Christianity is a persecuted faith. From the time the Lord Jesus spoke about building his church, he warned his disciples. He prepared them that there will be times that they would face times of persecution. And so we are not alarmed. We are not agitated. We are not angry. As much as we would love to enjoy the freedom we have, we love those who are hurting the cause of Christ, and we pray for them. And we know that in the blindness of their heart, they do this. You are right. The Lord has spared us. In the South, we've had a pretty good years of ministry, but there is that threat that comes with the anti-conversion law that makes it a criminal offense so as to share your faith with someone. Now, faith is a very personal matter, and so, you know, sharing it shouldn't be a fault, but it's a person's choice to receive or reject. And I don't believe in forcing anyone to believe what they don't believe. And the Bible doesn't teach that. So we agree. We are not into forced conversion, but it's a choice that individuals have. And I believe that should be given to each of us, because our Constitution is founded on that. Religion, to preach, propagate, practice your faith. And so I'm just praying, you know, with all that has been happening, that God will give us still good days, and people will allow coexistence, will allow individuals to make choices, to choose to believe or reject. And so we love the hand that hurts us, if I may put it that way.
Yes, that's very well put, my brother. We just had a conversation with a missionary recently that was going to the nation of Cambodia, and he just gave the Lord the glory, Pastor Hendricks, because of a choice that his parents made that got him out of his country, that came here to the U.S. And as a result of that, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now is going back to his native country to preach the very gospel that his country, and is primarily Hindu, it's Buddhism, they persecute that. So, you know, you talk about the choices, and that is so very well put, because every man in his own mind, in his own right, should have the right to choose, and there should be no government that would force one upon another. And the very gospel, Brother Hendricks, that you preach there in Bengaluru, it is a gospel that delivers men's souls from the penalty of sin and from the dark, the darkest religion that keeps a person blinded. But yet, brother, you know that many that are right there and in the country of India are so blinded by nothing more than rote religion, and they don't see really the light that comes from the gospel. And that's what the scriptures say: "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." Brother, tell us about just the efforts right now with regard to the ministry there. I know that, again, that there's always, as you said, the threat of persecution there, but reaching out, getting the word of God out. Tell us what has been going on since we last talked to you a year and a half ago.
Well, Hymn Radio got started in 2019, and just the timing of it was not of man, but of God, because a few months later was when COVID-19 hit us, and all we had was the radio to broadcast gospel music and Bible preaching, and that became our comfort, listening to it 24/7. So, yeah, the Lord just started that ministry at the right time, and since then we have grown into having 5 Indian languages added on to our program. We do Vernon McGee's Through the Bible, which is in 5 Indian languages. Now, that gives every individual who does not know English to get to hear the gospel every day. And so they just got to tune in. And during that hour, there is the gospel given to them, Bible preaching given to them. And so that's been a progress that I want to thank the Lord for.
Amen.
And again, there's good music throughout the day. And people, you know, even Christian music is so so sensual and so pleasing to the flesh. We need godly music that glorifies God and exalts our Savior.
Amen.
And I'm glad for Hymn Radio, which again is a child of GGR and staying close to not just the preaching, but even the music. So we praise God for that. We've been very restricted in visiting hospitals. Earlier, we were able to do that. We were able to pray for the sick, and we have just been shunned out since COVID, and we've never been able to reopen that ministry. But that has not stopped us for going into people's homes and praying for them. And in fact, God is bringing the sick to our church. We have a little girl who's 4 years old battling with leukemia, and the parents somehow found our church, and they've been coming regularly, and we've been not only financially able to help them, but we've also been able to spiritually pray and counsel with that family, because they don't need just money. They need faith. They need hope.
Amen.
They need God in their life. And we're just amazed at, you know, how the Lord is directing people to the church. And thanks to Google, even this Sunday, we had three newcomers who said they were searching for a church, and they read through our doctrinal statement, and they said, let's go and try it. And we just thank God that we have those first-time visitors who keep coming. The Bible College, apart from teaching regular classes, the Lord, again, is just leading us into new ministries every day. We've been able to go online, but do Zoom classes with those who cannot come in for the in-house classes. And now of recent, I've started pre-recorded classes, because there are some who cannot even join the Zoom classes. So we do pre-recorded audio, and they listen to it at their own convenient time. And guess what? They're studying the Bible.
Amen.
They are progressing in their knowledge of God's word. So I just get excited when I see God at work. And I'm sorry, I'm running ahead of myself, but just telling you, the Lord is doing great things on this side.
Bless the Lord, my brother. The you mentioned that child, and as a result of the parents and the prayer that was needed for that child specifically. Brother, I thought about, again, the 1.4 billion people there in India, and how that there are so many children there. They're going to grow up believing something. They're going to grow up either under the Hindu religion, or they're going to grow up in belief of something, because they're going to be searching. And that those next generations coming up are so critical to be reached with the truth.
Well, I realize education is not just knowledge, but education is coming to know who God is, and letting Him, you know, shine His light in and through that individual. And what better way than, you know, getting an individual when they are like clay of that stage, in that stage where they can be molded. And, you know, I myself studied in schools where I got good education, but I didn't get God. And by God's mercy, I had a church that complemented what I lacked. But nowadays, you know, with kids who are growing up, they're not even growing up in their own faith. They're not following their parents. We have a generation of children who are just wanting to be spiritual without God. They want to be their own gods. They want, you know, it's humanistic philosophy that's got into education. And so to change a person's whole thinking, they need God in the center of their life, because there is no substitute for God. No money, no education, no pleasure can substitute God. And so giving them education is our priority, but giving them God, who will be with them through the ins and outs, the ups and downs of life, one who will stick closer to them than a brother. And that's our pursuit. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. But we can see that when people get God, they get gratitude into their lives. They get value for everything. And that's what the Lord is doing through this education system. And we pray that the Lord will help us to continue to be able to do this for many, many more years and for many, many more children. Now, apart from this education, we realize we can't reach the whole city. Because, again, Bangalore has a population of about 13 million people. And we are looking at a city that's growing so fast. We can't get them all to our place. So we've decided our vision is in the next 1 year, we want to have 12 Bible clubs in 12 different pockets of the city. Now, this has to happen through our people. They've got to initiate their home to become a place where the neighborhood kids can come and join in. And so by God's grace, we have started 4 already that are operational. So in 4 pockets of the city, every Friday, there are kids gathering who will never come to our organization, never come to our institution. But that Friday evening, they come there for a little time of fun, games, and God's word, and we're introducing them to Christ. So children's ministry is close to our heart, and we have 3 sons who've grown up to be young men, and 2 of them are married. So children are very close to our hearts. Hey,
brother, and again, I rejoice to hear that particular aspect of things in trying to reach the younger generations that they may know. Brother, you just gave a figure of 13 million, and that's just in the one city where you are alone, and that is staggering in and of itself to think about that. And there has to be some form of strategy, which obviously the Lord has led you with, to create those pockets and to reach the children, and what a blessing. And and by the way, if you're just joining us in this conversation, we are talking with Pastor Adrian Hendricks, who is the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Bengaluru, India. And Brother Adrian has been describing to us not only the political landscape of what's going on with regard to the persecution in other areas of India and at the hands of extremists primarily, but also then describing the ministry of Heritage Baptist Church and the many outreaches that he has, which includes Hymn Radio, which includes Bible College, which includes the children's clubs, if you would. And Pastor, I know that absolutely keeps you busy all the time. And I'm very, very thankful for those that have come back and put their shoulder to the plow in order to help Amen. You with that ministry. One more thing that I want to ask you about, and that is just, again, you mentioned that you could get into homes themselves, and I know that you have some far reaches that you get into as far as in other parts of the country. North of you there, there's a particular ministry there, and brother, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but tell us what's been going on with regard to that ministry up north.
You know, it breaks my heart, but thank you for reminding me. You know, we are praying regularly for that, but whenever I think of that ministry, it's not just that we have a missionary whom we are supporting full time in those mountains of Manipur, but the fact is what's been happening in Manipur since the month of May, it just breaks my heart to speak about it and to think that such things have happened in my country and still continue to. It brings shame for me to even mention it in this interview, but nevertheless, let the truth be told. There's been persecution in that region for a few months, and it's just basically a tribal issue that needs to be sorted out between the 2 tribes or more that have coexisted for years gone by. And one of them is a Christian tribe called the Kuki, and the other one is a Hindu tribe called Metis. Now, elections come and go, and, you know, different parties win, and they make promises, and this goes on all over the world. But of recent, when the elections got over and the party won, for some reason, they started to feel they need to gain control of their whole land by eliminating the other tribes. And that with that pursuit, they went on a rampage to burn about 300 plus churches in that region. And I had my missionary call me, text me, beg me to please pray for the safety of his family. There was gunfire outside his house every day, and I'm not exaggerating. One of his neighbors walked out to go and get some food for his family, and he was shot point-blank range, just shot dead. There have been so many. In fact, the international community awakened to what was happening when two girls were molested, and the video of this whole thing was put up for the world to see. And when that came up, that's when everyone started asking questions as to how could this happen in India. And it's still not brought peace into that state. And I don't know why the media is not covering it. I don't know why the ministers whom we elected don't see it as a priority. It's like, let them sort out their problems. It's not our concern. So yes, sir, our missionary has survived. His wife had a baby in the midst of all of this, and we were able to financially help them. We have financially, you know, been able to send gifts to them. And the missionary told me, he said, there are times I would have such a rage within me, and I would just feel like going out and grabbing a gun and shooting everyone I see in sight because of all that has been done to his own people. And then I said, if you do that, who will be with your people? Who would give them hope? Who would comfort them? And he just broke down and cried. And he said, and he's been my student whom I trained. And he just broke down and said, thank you, sir. I know God has raised me up for such a time as this. And I got to be there for my people. I got to be there to comfort them. And every day he's going to homes where they've lost a family member who's been killed, comforting them, praying for them, leading them to Christ. So in the midst of this persecution, souls are being saved. Christ is being glorified. And I believe this will all turn for the glory of God and the good of those people. So Manipur is the place you referred to. And continue to pray for them, sir.
Amen. I will definitely do that. And as you, our listeners, just heard of that testimony and of what had been going on in Manipur, let's pray for that particular missionary there, that God would certainly strengthen him. And Brother Adrian, what a for such a time as this, as he said, and for the time that you were there to comfort him and strengthen him through that phone call, in order that he might gain the strength that he needs to carry on. And certainly very, very difficult circumstances that he is facing. Thank you for sharing that with us, my brother. We've come down to the bottom of the hour here. And in addition to that particular brother there, Brother Adrian, is there other things, one or two other things that we need to know about so that we can take time to pray for that as we close this program today?
Well, I would say that these are very trying times. And I always tell my people, trying times are trusting times. If we don't have the situation we are in, we won't even feel the need to call upon our God. And I remind our people that Christianity has been a persecuted faith, but it's also been a propagating faith. And so nothing should stop us from following the Great Commission, because our Lord is soon going to return, and we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I would say our pressing need of prayer is that God will give us a property. And we ask this for nothing for ourselves, but we are living at a time where to rent is almost next to impossible. To have a church in a locality, you got to have everyone give permission to have a religious organization within a community of people. And so we've been renting for a long time, but we've got to vacate the place where we are, and we don't know where we're going to. Our ministry has grown. The Lord has added people to it, but we need a place. And we know the Lord knows the need, and we ask you all who are listening to just join in and pray with us that we'll be able to raise the funds, we'll be able to buy a property, we'll be able to build a place so that the Lord's work can continue till He comes. And that would be our urgent prayer request for now. Amen. Because without that place, we would be literally on the roads and under the trees, but still serving the Lord till He comes.
Amen. As you have heard, our dear listener, let's pray for this particular need, and let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Father, certainly the mercies that are new every day, we give you thanks for. And I certainly ask, Lord, for on behalf of Pastor Hendricks and the church there at Heritage Baptist in Bengaluru, India, that, Lord, that you would provide a place where they can meet. I certainly pray for, Lord, the leadership for Brother Hendricks and the wisdom that he needs. And, Lord, that strength of heart and soul be there for him and for Sister Emma. And, Lord, for the brethren there. And I certainly pray that you give them, again, strength during these trying times. For the dear missionary there in the northern part, Lord, there's been so much in the way of persecution. God, strengthen him and his family. God, put a hedge about them and protect them, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for, again, just the opportunity to speak to Brother Adrian this morning. I certainly ask your greatest blessings upon him and the ministry there. And we ask this for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Adrian Hendricks.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Brother Adrian Hendricks, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Bengaluru, India. Brother, thank you so much for joining us here on Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Thank you, sir. The honor has been mine, and God bless you for what y'all are doing through this program.
God bless you, my brother.
Amen.
And thank you for joining us here today on Wheat Among the Tares. Pray for us here. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful day.